From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Kern saying hello to you and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you listening in as we return to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, once more to look at the subject, Jesus Christ, man's only point of contact with God. Another way of saying, really, that there's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So stay with us, as in a few minutes we'll be turning back to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. I hope you've been enjoying the help that I've had this week from Charles Kelch, whom we have introduced to help me with the anchoring and also with the engineering of the broadcast. A professional of many years standing, Charlie will be a great blessing to us here, and I trust to you out there as you're listening day by day to Let the Bible Speak. Now we start today with our hot topic, which is Prepare to Meet Thy Doom. It used to be that only some deluded religious fanatics, certainly not Christians instructed by Holy Scripture, thought that they could put a date on the end of the world as we know it. Now, global warming fanatics have taken on the role of doomsday prophets. If we don't rise up and save the earth, say they, the earth will suffer cataclysmic climate change. Listen to this. The earth today stands in imminent peril, and nothing short of a planetary rescue will save it from the environmental cataclysm of dangerous climate change. So read the front page of one of Europe's leading newspapers, The Independent, on June 18, 2007. The article cites the research of what it calls six leading experts, and I quote, six scientists from some of the leading scientific institutions in the United States have issued what amounts to an unambiguous warning to the world. Civilization itself is threatened by global warming. Instead of sea levels rising by about 40 centimeters, as the IPCC predicts in one of its computer forecasts, the true rise might be as great as several meters by 2100. So, less than 100 years from now. And that is why they say planet Earth is in imminent peril. The leader of the research team, James Hansen of NASA's Goddard Institute for Space Studies, emailed the newspaper and said, "In my opinion, among our papers, this one probably does the best job of making clear that the Earth is getting perilously close to climate changes that could run out of our control." So once again, we're treated to the chilling fear-mongering of experts who, on the basis of computer models that act on the presuppositions that they have entered, produce the results they expect. Computer models, and I'm quoting here from another expert, computer models can be made to verify anything by changing some of the 5 million input parameters or any of a multitude of negative and positive feedbacks in the program used. They don't prove anything. Also, computer models predicting global warming are incapable of properly including the effects of the sun, cosmic rays, and clouds. The sun is a major cause of temperature variation on the Earth's surface, as its received radiation changes all the time. This happens largely in a cyclical fashion. The number and the length and time of sunspots can be correlated very closely with average temperatures on Earth. For example, the Little Ice Age and the medieval warm period. Varying intensity of solar heat radiation affects the surface temperatures of the oceans and the currents. Warmer ocean waters expel gases, some of which are CO2. Solar radiation interferes with the cosmic ray flux, thus influencing the amount of ionized nuclei which control cloud cover. The most revealing aspect of the latest doomsday warning is that climate may spin out of, quotes, our control. Since when was climate ever in man's control? Control is the real driving force behind the global warming brigade. They want to control, not the climate, but us and all we do. I hope they fail in this, but I don't know. One thing I do know, however, and that is that, as with all the rest of the date setters who announce the time when the world will end, they'll end up looking very foolish. The end of the age and how it will happen are in God's hands, and he has told us how, but not when it will come about. Hear him and submit to his control, not that of those who are producing junk science and idolatrous man-centered philosophy. Listening to Let the Bible Speak, which comes to you from Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We're glad that you've taken the time to be with us today, and we trust that the Lord is blessing the program to your heart. Every so often I draw to your attention the fact that we produce here at Let the Bible Speak a quarterly magazine in full color that seeks to continue the theme of the broadcast and let the Bible speak on things that are important to the people of God. We leave it to others to fiddle around with things that really don't matter very much, and we want to instruct and edify and help God's people on issues of real importance from the Scriptures. Our latest Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is available, and it deals with the subject of the doctrines of grace. Some people call these Calvinism. The doctrines of grace, those doctrines which seek to elevate and glorify the grace of God revealed in the everlasting gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that you'll take the opportunity to have your free copy of the magazine sent. Send us your request and we'll be glad to add you to our mailing list, and we'll send you the magazine each time it comes out. You'll find it a blessing. There is no charge, and I can assure you, as always, that when you give us your mailing address, we don't pass it on to anybody else, nor do we ever use it for follow-up, giving one begging letter after another. We never do that. We don't beg. We are happy to provide the magazine to you as a ministry that we trust will be a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to receive your copy of the Let the Bible Speak quarterly, you can write to us here at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Or you may email us at LTBS@freepress.org. Or if you prefer, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS, 866-877-5827. So these are the ways you can get in touch. We'll be happy to let you have Let the Bible Speak quarterly, and I know it will be instructive, edifying, and a blessing to your heart. With good memories may recollect that I pointed out that chapters 10 and 11 in Matthew describe the events with which Christ climaxed his first great Galilean ministry. When you read these chapters, the events and the sayings in them seem at first sight to be more or less unconnected, except possibly by time. But when you look at them a little more closely, you find that there is a theme that runs through, a connecting thread that runs through all these passages. And it is indeed one of the great truths of Scripture, one of the central truths of the Gospel Revelation. I have put it this way, that in Matthew 10 and 11, the truth that ties all the events and sayings together is the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only point of contact between man and God. And you'll find that as you read these chapters, the seemingly unconnected events actually reflect each in its own way upon this central theme. So what we're dealing with at this point in the studies of the life of Christ is the subject, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only means of communion or communication between God and man. That means, first and foremost, we must emphasize this, because without this you'll never understand the Bible, and without this you have no gospel. God reveals himself to men solely, exclusively, in the Lord Jesus Christ and through the Lord Jesus Christ. The only line of communication between God and men is the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to get off on a tangent when I'm only mentioning the subject, but immediately it will suggest itself to some people, does not the Bible say that the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork? Is the natural creation not a line of communication? No, it is not.
It is a revelation. It is light. But I ask you, what use is light to a blind man? God communicates solely through Christ. God does reveal himself in the heavens above and in the earth beneath. But have you never stopped to think that you've never once known of a man, either in Scripture or out of Scripture, saved by contemplating the sun, the moon, the stars, and the earth? Never one. Unless God brings him to Christ, he will never, never be brought into saving communication with God. There's nothing wrong with the revelation in nature. There's nothing lacking in it for the purposes for which it was intended. But there's nothing saving in it either. God communicates solely through Christ. And even if we're to understand nature aright, we must have the grace that's in Christ. Because, as I have quoted many, many times, it's in him that God gives you sight to see the light. So when I say that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only means of communion and communication between God and man, I'm saying first God reveals himself to man and communicates with man savingly only in Christ. The second thing I'm saying is that man can go to God solely and exclusively through the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one God, says Paul, and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. When Job cried for a day's man, for one to stand between him and God, for one to allow him to approach God and to be able to commune with God, he was putting his finger on the greatest need of the human soul, a day's man with God, a way of communion with God. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way by which man can approach to God. So the only means of communion and communication between God and man is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth that binds the events of Matthew 10 and 11 together. Now, about a month ago, we looked in chapter 10, and we saw this truth opposed. And that presented us with the picture of Christ as the divider of man. Now, coming to chapter 11, we will see in the first six verses this truth established. And here Christ is presented as the promised Messiah. The opening of chapter 11 is rather a disturbing passage on many levels. We find that John the Baptist was in prison. His disciples were still out and about, and obviously they were still able to make contact with him. John, however, lay languishing in the prison. His public ministry was over. And no doubt, like any other man of action, being shut up in a little prison cell was something that didn't sit well with John. He chafed under that loneliness, more than that, under that inactivity, under that debilitating feeling that it's all over, my usefulness is gone. While he was out actively in the work, he could see the crowds go away and go to Christ, and he could do that with equanimity and even with joy. He said, "This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled." He could rejoice as he was out and about serving the Lord and seeing what God was doing through the Lord Jesus Christ. but shut up in a dank prison cell, cut off from all his old service for God and his public work in establishing the credentials of Christ before the people, John became more than a little depressed. That gives me a little confidence, a little hope. You know, when you get depressed, you think, I'm the only one gets depressed. I'm the only one ever gets down under it. You have the feeling, if I were right with God, I wouldn't feel this way and couldn't feel this way. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is about to go on not to condemn John, but to commend him in the highest terms in which he ever commended any man. And yet we find John was depressed. Not only depressed, but it would seem to me that unbelief had begun to eat at John. He lost sight of the promises, the certainties with which God had launched him upon his ministry. Now that is a very serious thing to say. It's so serious indeed that many very good commentators shy away from coming to that conclusion. Bishop Ryle, for example, believes that John sent his disciples to ask this question not because he was depressed or defeated or because he was in unbelief or in any uncertainty, but so as just to bolster the faith of his disciples. I would like to think that, but I don't see anything whatsoever in the passage to suggest it. If that were the case, I think the Lord Jesus, knowing it full well, would have addressed the disciples of John, and he would have sought to comfort them and establish them in the faith and overcome their doubts and fears. But rather he sent them back and said, go and tell John. It was John who needed the message. It was John who was depressed. It was John who was down. It was John who was unbelieving. And that gave the Lord Jesus Christ a glorious opportunity to send the answer that will always meet you when you're down and defeated. And that's an understanding of himself. He said, go and show John again. Now, I'm getting a little off my subject when I stop here, but I want to do it because the Bible's a living book. You don't do it any good when preachers come and they get so cut and dried with their little outlines that they can't stop and understand what God is saying. Go and show John again. Does it not remind you of when Peter fell much more grievously than John? Go and tell my disciples. And Peter, tell him again. Can I say to you this morning, if you're here and your heart is heavy and you feel that you've lost out with God, you've lost the vision, you've lost the comfort, you've lost the joy, you've lost the drive, you've lost even the certainty, and the devil comes to you and the thought arises in your mind, there's no way back for me, it's all finishing. Listen, even if life is ebbing away, the Lord Jesus says, go and tell him again. There's a word of comfort. There's a word of grace. There's a word of kindness. There's a word to build you up. There's a word to restore you. There's a word to rekindle the flame. There's a word to give you certainty where now there's uncertainty. The Lord Jesus does not give people up easily. How can I give you up? He says, go and tell him again. Some of you here this morning, well, let me rephrase that. For I'm not speaking to you from outside the circle. Some of us here this morning need the word again. What a comfort it is in the midst of all your failures and all your follies and all your backsliding and all your unbelief, that the Lord Jesus sends a word and he says, go and tell him again.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.